commence our service this afternoon by singing hymn number 764. The tune is Tudor 252. Sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. But there's a voice of sovereign grace sounds from the sacred word, Ho, ye despairing sinners, come and trust upon the Lord. Hymn number 764.
Holy Word of God, We'll read together the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and as a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favour than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and say it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he now help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we do thank thee for bringing us together here this afternoon into this house of prayer. Would you pray thy gracious help and presence now as we once more attend to the services of thy house. Lord, we do pray that thou would bless us with a solemn mind as we come into thy house, that we may come in reverence and in godly fear. Oh, may we ever be conscious of whose house this is. Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep us humble at thy feet. Lord, we pray that thou keep us from pride and any high thoughts of ourselves, but rather may we be laid low at thy feet. May we be looking to thee for that supply of our every need. And Lord, we're in need of much this afternoon. Lord, we need thy gracious help. We need, Lord, that living faith. We need, Lord, the love of Christ to be shed abroad in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we might know something of that love within us. Lord, we pray that thou pour out thy love and thy blessing upon us as we meet around thy word. And may the preaching of thy word and the reading of it distill as a dew and, Lord, be found after many days. We pray, Lord, that we might be among those who now do say, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. But Lord, at times we're leaky vessels. And Lord, we have to confess that sometimes as soon as the word enters in, it pours out. Lord, we pray that there might be something that remains from the services of thy house this day. Lord, that there might be that which does us good. We might know Ruth's portion, something to take home and something to beat out, something to live on in the coming days. So help us, Lord, we pray, as we seek to continue to live our lives day by day. Help us, Lord, in the pathway of life. Lord, may we be found leaning upon thee, brought to put our trust in thee, and may we find thee all sufficient to meet our every need. And so, Lord, we look to thee this afternoon for all needed help. That we might hear to the profit of our souls, Lord, that thy great and glorious name might be honoured and glorified in all that we do. Lord, we pray that thou bless each who are gathered here this afternoon and help them, Lord, in all the many aspects of their lives. Lord, do grant those helps that are needed day by day. Lord, we pray that we might know thy keeping power, that thou keep us from all the evil influences that are in the world around us. We live in a distressing day in some aspects.
Lord, there's those things that cast us down as we look around at the country in which we live. We see the rise of Antichrist on many sides. And Lord, we find confusion in our day and generation. And Lord, at present it is thy will that we are led by leaders who know not what to do. Lord, there is confusion in high places. We do pray that amongst all these things, thou wilt arise for our help. Oh Lord, we do thank thee that thou art still on the throne, as the Lord God omnipotent reigning. Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear and deliver us from the things that are taking present in our country. Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear for us in these days of confusion. Lord, there's confusion in government, but there's confusion in society. Lord, there's a confusion at times being taught in schools. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt stem this tide of sin which we find flowing through our land. Lord, do put in high places those who fear thy name, those who know what Israel ought to do, given wisdom of thee. But Lord, above all, may they be praying people who fear thy name. And so, Lord, do have mercy upon us and raise up those within the royal household and in high places in government, Lord, that once more thy word might be the centre of all things in this country, that the wrong laws that are brought in may be overturned, and that thou wilt establish correct rule and order in this land again according to thy word. We ask great things, but Lord, in days gone by, and in thy word, Lord, we read of in a moment a king is removed and a good king is set forth. And what a change has come over the country. So may we know it even in our country. Lord, we pray then, deliver us from all these attacks of the Antichrist. Lord, do glorify thyself. Make bare thy holy arm. Rend the heavens and come down. And make the place of thy feet glorious. Lord, do bless the churches. Pour out thy spirit, we pray. Lord, do raise up the men to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, do fill the empty pulpits and fill the empty seats in the pews. Lord, and grant that revival of thy work, and may there be that turning unto thee, that we might live to see better days. Lord, do have mercy upon us then, and may all be to thy honour and thy glory. Remember each then that are gathered here today. Do, Lord, help them and be with them. Be with any who are in affliction, any with difficulties and troubles of one kind or another. Lord, those who may have problems of mind rather than body, afflictions of mind, Lord, we pray that thou deliver them from the hours of darkness. Lord, that thou use these things and sanctify them and apply them and make known thyself in them. Lord, we pray then that thou lift up those that are cast down, those that are depressed, those, Lord, that may feel life to be a struggle, those, Lord, who are struggling in temptation, struggling in that battle with the powers of sin and Satan. Lord, may they be brought to flee for thee, to thee for refuge, and to find thee a very present help in trouble. Oh, Lord, we make that way of escape for us. Oh, that we might hide ourselves in thy pavilion. Lord, we pray we may make our refuge and find thee to be that stronghold, that tower where we may continually flee. Do then deliver us then and help us and strengthen us day by day. Lord, we pray for those not here. Lord, we pray for any who, Lord, may have wandered off. We pray for those we know and love, Lord, who have seemingly turned their backs on these things, the things of God, and have gone off into a far-off country spiritually. Lord, we pray that the prodigals may be brought to return. Lord, that they may come to their right minds and be found returning to the Father's house. Lord, do grant thy mercy and thy favour. Lord, for returning prodigals shall find that though their base, their Father's kind. And so, Lord, do remember them and deliver them, Lord, from utterly falling away and departing, and bring them back for thy honour and glory. And Lord, may we continue to pray for them, and may we be encouraged as we see one and another brought out of nature's darkness into the marvellous light of the gospel. Lord, do grant then thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word, both here and wherever it's faithfully proclaimed. Do bless the pastor of this cause. Grant him, Lord, a spirit of liberty, and liberty in the preaching, and liberty in his own soul. Grant, Lord, that he may be blessed, and his preaching blessed here and where he is even this day. Lord, do grant the signs following for thy honour and glory. Lord, do return him home in peace and safety at the appointed time. And Lord, remember this cause of truth. We thank thee for it, the supply of the needs of the church and congregation here, maintaining them week by week. We thank thee for the quietness from the surroundings. Lord, we thank thee that we can meet without fearing our lives. We meet free from persecution, and we thank thee for that. And we pray, Lord, that we may ever esteem it the privilege it is to have our liberty to worship thee. Lord, we pray that we may ever have a liberty to speak, the freedom of our speech in this land. Lord, we pray that thou'd deliver us from those who would quiet and stop the Christian voice. And so, Lord, do help us. Remember those in other lands, Lord, who have not the same liberties. Some meet in fear of their lives. Some are suffering even unto death. Some have no place of worship. Lord, we pray that thou'd appear for them, and so turn their circumstances that they too may know that liberty and freedom to worship. Lord, we pray then, bless the preaching, bless thy people to the ends of the earth. Lord, thou knowest where they are and who they are and all about them. Lord, we pray that thou would bless them and bless the one church throughout the earth. Remember those, Lord, who publish and distribute godly literature and thy word throughout the nations. And those organisations, Lord, who seek to relieve thy suffering people. Do encourage them, we pray, and supply their needs, and incline the hearts of those who serve in those organisations. Raise up others, Lord, that there might be that continual supply of need. And so we pray, remember us each with that favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit us with thy salvation. Lord, do have mercy upon us each, oh, that however long or short our lives on earth might be, that all might be well while life endures and well when called to die. Help us, Lord, that we might be made conformable to the image of thy dear Son. Help us to witness to those around us. As we read of Paul, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing. May we be helped day by day to live our lives rightly in the sight of the world, but above all in thy sight. And Lord, we pray that should those doors of utterance be open to us, thou would help us to speak and give us that strength and that courage that we may not be ashamed of thee. Lord, we pray then, help us that we might live our lives as that light shining in a dark world. And Lord, that thou would get all the honour and glory. Help us now, Lord, as we turn to thy word. May we have the understanding heart. May we know the power of thy spirit. Oh, we pray thy presence here, dear Lord Jesus, that we might know it feelingly in our hearts, and that we might know by faith that thou art here. Lord, we pray it may be as it was with those disciples of old, the doors being shut, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Lord, do speak to us, we pray. And forgive us all our sins, and pardon all we ask amiss. So we ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Continue our service by singing hymn number 941. The tune is Rangeley 393. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. Without thy peace and presence, Lord, not all the world can help afford. Oh, do not frown my soul away, but smile my darkness into day. Hymn number 941.
Thank you.
with me to the chapter we've read, Book of Proverbs, chapter 28. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you from verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The book of Proverbs is a most interesting and beautiful book. You can divide it into five parts. The first nine chapters are really an introduction, if you like, a preface to Solomon's Proverbs. Chapter 10 begins with the Proverbs of Solomon, and then the ones that are his and written by him. And then chapter 25, the third part of this book begins, which are the Proverbs of Solomon as recorded by the men of Hezekiah. And then we have chapter 30, the words of Agur, the son of Jecha. And then the closing fifth part, chapter 31, the words of the king's mother. And it's commonly thought that this is Bathsheba speaking, and King Lemuel being a name given by her to Solomon. But this afternoon we have this verse: he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And so it is. I well remember my own dear mother saying to me, "Be sure your sins will find you out." And they do. And you cannot hide your sins from God. Sooner or later, those sins that you and I commit will find us out. Whether it's naturally finding us out when the things that we maybe do are unearthed by those around us, or whether it's finding us out in the way of conviction of sin, or whether it's that solemn great day when every single thing that we've done in the flesh is revealed. And what a day that will be. When the things that we have done in the flesh, both good and bad, are called up and we have to give an account for them. Our sins will certainly find us out if and unless, by the grace of God, we've been brought to a true repentance here in this life. He that covereth his sins, and we do, don't we? Naturally speaking, even the children here this afternoon will know what it is. You do something wrong at home, and your mother or father says, "Who's done this?" And, well, do we come out straight away and say, "I did it"? How often we're either silent, or we try and blame someone else. We try and cover the sin. We try and cover the fact it was us. Or maybe we sin, and maybe you're told not to touch something or do something and you break it. And then you try and repair it and cover it. You try and hide it. Hide it from the sight of your parents. And yet, God sees. God's seen everything that's done by all at every time. And we try and cover.
You know, our parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve, well, they tried, didn't they? In that Garden of Eden, having taken of that forbidden fruit, you see, God had said not to touch it. Everything else was available to them except that tree of knowledge. And they were forbidden to eat of that fruit. But you find the sin in disobedience, disobeying. And that which is off limits, that which is not permitted, cannot be resisted, can it? When sin is present. Now, beloved friends, you know, maybe we're to point the finger of blame at Satan. Maybe we're to try and accuse him. But Eve tried, didn't she? But Adam blamed his wife, and she blamed Satan. The serpent beguiled me. But you see, really, he just suggested, didn't he? Yeah, have you seen it? You know, he suggests things. And that's what we find in our lives. The seeds of sin are in our own hearts. The fault lies with us. Yes, he works on those seeds of sin. Yes, he plies his trade in the depths of the sin that's in our heart. But it's there. The fault is entirely with us. It lies at our doorstep. He suggests things. He points our eyes to things. He exaggerates things. He tries to gloss over things. Yes, but the fault lies with us. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and they did eat, and their eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They start covering their sin. Oh, this is our, isn't it, our solemn fault also. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. They sew a few fig leaves together. Sew a few leaves together and made themselves aprons. Oh, but God is not mocked. He's an all-seeing eye. And they heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But you can't, can you? How can you hide from him who's all-seeing and all-knowing? But we do. Why? Because we're guilty. And we try and hide ourselves. We hide our sins. We hide our faults. And we try and pretend things haven't happened. And we try and pretend that it's not sinful. And oh, we weave all sorts of aprons together, don't we, to try and hide ourselves. And you know, you can fool maybe your parents, or you can fool your husband or your wife, but you can't fool God. No, you can't fool him. And the eyes of them were opened. Oh, but they took things into their own hands. They made these aprons and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord called him out. Adam, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Oh, he knew exactly where they were. Where art thou? What have you done? What have you put your hand to? What have you brought upon yourself? Oh, the curse of sin, the misery of sin, the punishment of sin. Where art thou? Oh, what a voice of mercy, though, sounding from the almost the beginning of Holy Scripture. Oh, a voice of mercy, where art thou? Oh, you'd have thought sudden destruction, instant annihilation of them, banished straight to hell for them should be the just desert, having so wantonly sinned away the favours of God, the privilege that they had, the blessings that they had, casting it all aside for that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, that which is forbidden, that which is not permitted, that which your and my heart so long after. And we have to admit it, we do. Oh, but the mercy of God. And the forgiveness of God. Oh, he makes for them clothes of skin. Blood is shed. A covering is made. Where art thou? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. My mind went to Achan in the book of Joshua. And what do we find there? We find the children of Israel have been given a solemn warning to go to Jericho, to march around the city, to destroy the city, the inhabitants of it, except Rahab and those that are in her house. And they're not to touch anything of those inhabitants. Well, they're not to touch any of those Babylonish garments. They're forbidden. They're to destroy it all with fire, except the gold and silver and vessels of brass and iron. They are the Lord's, and they are to be taken and given to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Clear instructions. Every one of the children of Israel are told it, so there can be no mistake. Except we find sin. Sin in the heart of Achan. And what does he do? Ah, I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, that which he was forbidden to take, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, and I coveted them. He saw them. His heart went out after them. But you're not allowed to have them. You don't want them, but you can't have them. I want them. I must have them. I took them. Not only coveted, he put his hand to it. He took them. Took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent. No one saw him take them. No one. No one saw him bury them in his tent, except God. And God was not pleased. God was angry. Achan's trespass, Achan's sin of disobedience. Well, it brought shame upon the Israelites. They'd gone to battle against the children of Ai and had to flee from the face of them. Only a small people, few in number, easy for them to destroy, except they're overrun by them. Why? Sin is in the camp. There's an Achan. There's trespass. Things are not right with God. Why? Something's hidden. Secret sin. It's a stumbling block. It's an obstacle. It's a hindrance. It's that which is separating from the free-flowing blessings and mercy of God. It is sin that is in the way. Oh, and that sin must be removed. It's got to be put out. It's got to be put out, Joshua. But he doesn't know where it is. Where is it amongst the thousands of them? God knows. God knows. And Achan knows. We don't throw any stones, do we, really? You and I? You know, we've got a few Babylonish garments in our hearts I'm speaking of now. Things that we're not permitted to take or take pleasure in. Things that we're not permitted to do, to look upon, to partake in. Things that the Lord would not have us do, and yet in here is a few Babylonish garments hidden away. No, your loved ones don't see them. No, your parents don't see them. But in your heart, I wonder if there's a few, and in mine also, tucked away out of sight. This sin, things that are not permitted, and there it is, a desire after them, a partaking in them maybe. Well, what about those things that you should offer up to the Lord? Comes a bit closer, doesn't it? Oh, the sin in holding back that which should be offered up to God. Your time. The things that you have in your life. You're not laying them as a sacrifice before the Lord. You're holding things back. That which should be His, for His honour and glory. Maybe through silence, when you should speak, and yet you're silent. When you should follow, and yet you don't. Oh, and you're holding back things. Holding back. Why? Because it might cost you something. Time. Whatever the fear may be that you hold. Or the desire that you hold. You hold them back. Oh, but to be brought to confess. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You want the Lord's favour? You're seeking his help day by day. And yet things aren't right in your own heart. And you know there's things that are there. You want the Lord's favour and blessing upon you. You pray for it day by day. For you, your family, your business. For the church of God. And yet something's not right. Something's not right in your own tent. Something secret that's not confessed, that's not been turned out at the feet of Jesus. You know, brothers, friends, you and I, what a favoured, privileged day we live in. What do I mean? We live in a gospel day. You know, Achan turned out his tent, didn't he? At last. Eventually, when he was found out, he turned out his tent. You know, the day before when the Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses said to the children of Israel, Joshua said to the children of Israel, tomorrow we'll take the families one by one, lots will be cast. Where was Achan? Why didn't he come and lay it down then? What about when his father's house was taken by Lot? Well, there's a tribe that he was in. Why didn't he lay it down then? Coming closer and closer. His father's house is taken. Why did he not lay it down then? He's hiding it. Oh, they won't surely pick me. Oh, I won't surely be found out. Oh, but be sure, beloved friends. Your sins will find you out. You cannot cheat God. Oh, you may hide it from everyone. But God sees, God knows. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Eventually, Joshua rose up early in the morning. They brought the tribes of Judah, or the tribes together, Israel and Judah was taken. Took the family of Zahirites, and he brought the family of the Zahirites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought the household of man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, was taken. And he's taken. Give God the glory, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. Oh, but at the feet of Joshua, he pours out his heart. They go and uncover his tent. They take out the things from his tent. They're at the feet of Joshua. And there he is, convicted, exposed, shamed in front of everyone. But where can Joshua go? He has the law. He has the law. And in the law, there is no room for pardon. There is no way of escape. He must surely be put to death. And so he is. Oh, what a place. But, beloved friends, oh, the word this afternoon. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, them shall have mercy. Oh, the favoured people that live in a gospel day, who have a name to plead, who have, rather than Joshua, we have a greater than Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn out the tent of your heart, to make confession of sin at his feet, to unearth all those secret sins, however vile they might be, and plead for forgiveness. For Jesus' sake. Oh, the poor sinner at his feet shall find mercy. Oh, he'll never turn away a poor sinner who is brought to his feet pleading for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We find in Isaiah chapter 29 this word in verse 15. Who woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Oh, that's you and I, isn't it? Oh, we seek to do things, and we're out of sight, and we're on our own, maybe. And what do we have in this day and generation in which we live? So many more opportunities for secret sin. So many more. So many more opportunities. Verse 30, chapter 30, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That they may add sin to sin. You know, I wonder if some people think of the throne of grace as like the priest's confession box, where you pay some money and you confess your sin, and you go on your way, and there's no difference made in the life. You know, friends, this afternoon, this word says clearly, confesseth and forsaketh them. Confesseth and forsaketh them. Oh, but we often speak of confession of sin. What about this forsaking of sin? You know, if I get caught doing something, I might be highly embarrassed by it. You know, it brings shame on me. And I'm sorry for it, genuinely, I'm sorry for it. Why am I sorry? Because I've been found out. Is that the only reason? You know, you're exposed. your sin is before those around you, and you've been found out, it's been uncovered, you've been caught maybe in the act of something, and you're embarrassed by it, you're ashamed of it. How stupid of me. What? Being caught? How foolish of me not to cover my tracks better? How shameful it is for me. Why? Because I'm suffering embarrassment? Am I really sorry? Am I sorry that I sinned, or I'm sorry that I've been found out? I'm sorry that this has caused all this distress and misery upon my loved ones. I'm sorry that it's caused me this discomfort, this embarrassment. Or am I truly sorry? You see, you can be sorry for something, and you can say sorry for it, and you can feel a measure of repentance. But we need more than that. We need to be made, we need to be a change of heart. We need this change of heart. You see, repentance is not regeneration. You know, you can reform. You can reform your character, but you can't reform your heart. I can change my behaviour outwardly. I can stop myself maybe from some sins. But if my heart's still after them, am I changed? I might be truly sorry that I've been found out, but do I detest that sin? Is sin exceeding sinful for me? Oh, am I seeking a covering that I might get over this difficulty and then go back to the sin at a later date? When the dust settles, when things get less uncomfortable, I return to the sin in the same way, hoping to cover my tracks better, hoping that I won't be found out again. See, the love of sinning hasn't been taken from me. Oh, I felt a measure of sorrow, but just because I've been found out. Oh, we need that deeper sense, don't we? Oh, it's confession. Confession to God, asking him for mercy, but pleading that he'll take away that love of sinning. You know, you can maybe lay aside some of the weights and the sin, but can you lay aside the sin that does so easily beset you? You know, those darling sins. You know, I can lay aside some sins that I'm not too ensnared with, too wrapped up with, too much in love with. What about those particular sins, those besetting ones? You know, you can plead the Lord will have mercy on you as a sinner. But do you want him? Do you want him to remove that love of that sin? Are you harbouring in your heart a besetting sin? Oh, it's close, isn't it? It's close. The hymn writer says, I quoted it this morning, I'll quote it again, be of sin a double cure, cleanse me from its guilt. That was this morning, and his power this afternoon. The water and the blood. We need the precious blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin. But we need the raging power of sin to be subdued. We need the lust of the flesh, or whatever that besetting sin of yours and mine is. Oh, we need the Lord to subdue that power, that it won't have dominion over us, it won't reign over us anymore. He'll free us from that link, that union that we have with those things. For they're inseparable by us. You cannot lay aside a besetting sin in and of your own strength. Oh, you need the power of God to truly divide you and separate you from your former self. Oh, that you and I might plead with him, that he'll give us not just a grace, but he'll make that way. He'll enable us by grace. Oh, but he'll work in it that he'll prize away from us those besetting sins. It was a besetting sin for Achan, this covetousness. When was he going to wear the Babylonish garment? He wanted it. He wanted it. Oh, what about the? He wanted the money, the wedge of gold, the silver. He wanted it. Oh, and he couldn't separate his hand from it. He desired and he took it. Oh, you and I must. Oh, that we might be found with that separating effect, the love of Christ in our hearts, and truly left made to part with these besetting sins. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Oh, it's leading one way. Oh, you can't prosper. Beloved friends, you may prosper in this life, but what is this life in the light of a never-ending eternity? Oh, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We have a word in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Oh, we find our hearts taking that same place. No one sees. I'm out of sight. Maybe the rod of justice isn't laid on you. Maybe the rod of correction or rebuke is withheld. And your sin, you sin it and you think, well, he hasn't seen. He hasn't seen. No, nothing's come tumbling down yet. And so you go on to sin. And on to sin. Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Oh, what a curse it is. How it spreads its poison. How it dulls and deadens the heart. How it overtakes the mind. And dulls the senses. And takes all rationale. And all wisdom from a man. Or a woman or a boy or a girl. How it poisons. The life of each one of us. Oh, that you and I might be made aware, convince us of our sins, then lead to Jesus' blood. We're told, but they take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. No, they seek to cover their sins with some good work or some good opinion that other people have. They hide them under the cloak of chapel attendance or the good opinion that other people have. Or they hide it under a cloak of their parents' prayers. Oh, beloved friends, may you and I seek no other covering than the precious life and glorious death of Jesus Christ. Oh, may you and I seek no other hiding place than that which is the refuge in Christ Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, that you and I might be brought to plead for that precious blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins. We have that beautiful word, don't we? If we confess our sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. Oh, that your faith and mine will lay hold of that. I know it's a big if. It is a big if, isn't it? If we confess our sins. Lord, whatever it takes, bring me to that place of confession of sin. Oh, that sin might be exceeding sinful to me. Oh, that sin might be that which is abhorrent in my feelings and in my heart and in my sight. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. Oh, take it away, Lord. Change my desire, my taste, my appetite. Put down a certain food or a certain drink, but we want the Lord to take away, change the taste. Give us an appetite for the things of God. Oh, we might hunger and thirst after righteousness rather than hungering and thirsting after sins and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and seeking to get out of this life what we can. That's where we are by nature. We don't hunger, we don't thirst after the things of God. But he can give us that. Oh, he can give us such a longing, an aching void in our hearts the world cannot fill. Oh, he can give us such a desire that it out of the very lips of a sinner's come, give me Christ or else I die. Oh, is there necessary food and drink? The blood, the righteousness of Christ is a change in taste. It's a conversion of heart. It's a change of heart. It's a new spirit within. One that seeks to please God, to follow in his ways, to please him, to obey him. One that hates those sins that made him mourn and drove him from our breast. Oh, it's that which a heart which so longs after him and seeks to put him first in all things, that they might be laid low and he might be lifted up. He must increase, I must decrease. Oh, it's a change, isn't it? Oh, it's an unspeakable mercy if you and I are born again of the Spirit of God. Oh Lord, send thy Spirit in power. Work in me both to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Oh, we're told, aren't we? Oh, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Oh Lord, make me one of thy children. Oh, that I might be born again of thy Spirit. Oh, that I might be found fleeing for refuge to that hope which is set before us. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Is look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. In that beautiful chapter, Isaiah 55, we've had verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, there is forgiveness with him. Oh, there is mercy to be found. There is a way whereby poor sinners may come. And it's a well-tried way. It's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. None cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, they come by him and through him. Oh, it's as recorded in the Gospel of John, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh unto me
I will in no wise, no wise cast out. How can I come? If you saw the tent of my heart, you wouldn't speak so freely of approaching a holy God. How can I come when my tent of my heart is so polluted, so many secret sins, so many hidden faults, so much wrong, nothing right, such a scene of desolation and death, really. Oh, how can I come? Oh, it's just as you are. Oh, it's coming just as you are. It's coming on the ground of mercy. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, you've got nothing good to bring, but you can't stay away. To whom else can we go? Oh, you'd be made alive to see a need, a never-ending eternity. The Lord has shone a light into your dark heart and he's revealed some sins, things that are not right. You're not ready. And should the Lord call you to his judgment seat, you're not ready. Oh, Lord, prepare me. But how can I approach? Oh, it's in that place, that ground of mercy. Oh, with a faith laid hold that he'll not turn you away. He'll not cast you away. He'll not turn you away from his door, coming as a beggar. 500 pence, 1,000 pence, 50 pence sinners, welcome to knock at his door and seek for that which they need. O Lord, do thou it for thy great name's sake. O Lord, do deliver me from this body of sin. Who shall, said Paul, deliver me from this body of sin? The one is a few of us this afternoon crying out, O wretched man that I am. O wretched man that I am. I thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. There it is, the forgiveness of sins through the precious blood of Jesus and the robe of righteousness. Oh, there's no fig leaf covering needed. Your shame of having once sinned, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And there, at that great day, a washed sinner is clothed with a robe, a hiding place, that they won't suffer any shame. They can stand before an all-seeing God. And what does he see as viewed in Christ Jesus? With that robe, that spotless robe wrapped around him, what does he see? They are holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. Oh, the robe of righteousness that hides the shame of having once sinned, whereby a poor sinner may stand before a holy God in the presence of the angels and there stand bold, justified in Christ Jesus their Lord. Oh, the mercy of God. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Amen.
Our services today by singing hymn number 392, the tune is Stainforth 243. this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Thy pardoning love, so free, so sweet, dear Saviour, I adore. O keep me at thy sacred feet, and let me rove no more. In number 392.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the union and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.